My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. It's a place, a podcast, where we meet interesting people in the United Church of God and people that cross paths with the United Church of God. And we have a very interesting guest with us today. First time on Inside United. His name is Justin Palm. Justin has worked with us here for about a year. He works as writer and proofreader for the United Church of God in our media department. Welcome to Inside United, Justin.
Well, thank you, Vic. It's great to be here.
You may have seen him if you get to Beyond Today magazine, some of his articles that have appeared in Beyond Today magazine, and also other material that appears, and things that I write. Justin's probably been into it beforehand and straightening a few words out here and there. So I have really relied upon him and found him to be a very, very encouraging person as we work together trying to deliver content to the public. Justin, you've been here for a year.
Yes.
Where did you come from?
Well, I was born in Appleton, Wisconsin, just near Green Bay, north of Milwaukee and Madison, about an hour and a half. And then eventually was in Akron, Ohio, just north of us here in Cincinnati. And then I kind of took a turn then at Denver, and then so kind of all over, but moved here from Denver, Colorado about a year ago.
Justin, how did you come to the United Church of God? What's some of your background here, and what is your interest? Since I'll be very truthful here, you are relatively new to the United Church of God.
Well, I was called into another Church of God 15 years ago, about then, and found out about the United Church of God kind of ancillary over the years, but really the last 2 years started taking a really deeper look at it, and just through the internet and also word of mouth, having heard things, and my wife and I started really looking into all the wonderful programs and the magazine, and just really enjoyed the quality of it and the practical nature of it, and enjoyed the sermons, found those were really helpful, and started taking a deeper look. So we started looking at the literature and obviously reading a lot online as well, listening to a lot of sermons, and just found it really hit a note with us. We felt like we were really benefiting from it, a very encouraging tone from ministers here, and very practical too, things that we were facing in our lives. And it seemed like there was a lot of material on the website to help us.
What? How was it that you were hired? Then I kind of gave my side of the story. Yeah. You tell me your side of the story.
Well, so we had been attending for probably close to a year, maybe 9 months to a year, and we saw an advertisement in the United News saying that there was an opening, a proofreader position, and it kind of crossed my eye a few times. And then just as I started thinking more about it, the opportunity in Cincinnati and the wonderful team that's here, not knowing everyone, but hearing a couple things through the grapevine just about how positive everyone is and how easy it is to work with everyone here at the home office, I thought, well, maybe we should look at this. So I told my wife that we should at least start praying about it and thinking about it. So we did, and then we thought, well, at least we'll put our hat in the ring. And I've done a lot of proofreading in the past over the years. I've always worked with words in my experience as a writer and an editor, so I was definitely up my alley and in my interest. And also had a connection out in Denver, Colorado, just with Scott Ashley, and he encouraged us as well, and some others out there, to look into the opportunity. He's the managing editor of Beyond Today, and so he was our pastor in Denver. So we had a lot of encouragement from him as well, and just a wonderful congregation. So we applied for it, and went through the process, and now here I am. That was October last year, November.
With Justin only being here for a year, I feel like I've known you for all my life.
Yes, I'm very honest about that. It's a very wonderful opportunity and community here in the home office.
Now, one thing I see that you comment about, we appreciate the comments, are articles dealing with news trends and what's happening, and so we appreciate your commentaries on them. What's up right now?
Well, a lot of trends and a lot of obviously political roilings, and then roilings around the world as well with the Hong Kong protests, and even things going on now in Egypt, as seems that people are looking more to the leadership there and wondering exactly what they've gotten themselves into. Just a lot of unrest around the world, a lot of things that are causing especially younger generations, to just question everything and be very depressed. I mean, the biggest thing, too, lately was the climate change kind of protests and the activism. Friday, I believe, New York public school system let all the kids out for the day to go and protest and to try to raise awareness of the climate issues that are at play. And I was just listening to really an amazing NPR program a couple months ago about from teachers who were saying now as young as fifth grade, sixth grade, the kids are being taught so much about the fear that's out there with climate change. And this is not to get into the nitty-gritty of climate change, but they're just a lot of fear, and there's a lot of depression and things that people are worried about, and at a very young age. So this young woman from I think Sweden. Where's Thunberg from, Chaz?
Germany.
Sweden or Germany?
You were talking about Greta Thunberg, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, she's from Sweden.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah,
Swedish. So she's a young lady who's, I believe, in her teens, and decided to sail across the ocean instead of taking a plane because she's just worried about climate change. She's worried about the effects on the environment. She's worried about the decisions that we're all making. And there's so much worry now and fear over these things that, you know, kids are being told that, you know, they don't have a future unless we enact legislation or change things, that they're not going to be able to live to see their own kids or get married, or, you know, because the world is going to be, you know, heating up so much and all these extreme weather events. So Greta Thunberg, just one example of someone who is worried about these things and is taking action and was in New York giving speeches and talking about things. But it just, there's a lot of fear and concern about these things. And I think it just, kind of what I think about is a water cooler concept if people are all talking around the water cooler about, you know, whether climate change or unrest or anything else, we have to try to find ways we can be relevant to that, to reach people.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, you know, as you talk about the climate change as something that involves young people being involved. In my time, when I was 8, 9 years old, in third grade or whatever it was, second or third grade, we had air raid drills in our school. This was just after World War II. This was actually during the time of the Korean War.
Oh, wow.
And I remember that we had air raid drills. That's what they were called. And, you know, it kind of scared us as little kids, you know, because they would sound this big alarm and we'd all go running out of the school, all in order, you know, and then come back. And then later, when I went to junior high school, we had fallout shelters. We had those nuclear signs, you know, that certainly if there was a nuclear attack, nobody would have survived in the basement of our school. That probably would have been the worst place to be. But there would be no good place in a nuclear attack. But there's always been this fearful specter of something. Mm-hmm. As we live in the times in which we live right now after World War II, where mass destruction of civilization is possible.
Yes.
Justin, why are you so passionate about these issues?
I think one thing, it goes back to my calling when I was, after I graduated high school, I just had a lot of questions about the world around me. And I remember graduated in 2003, and in 2004, the Indonesia tsunami hit. And I just remember, like it was yesterday, walking down the street, wasn't downtown, but it was one of the side streets in Appleton, and looking at one of the newspapers in the newspaper stand and just seeing the just destruction and 200 and, you know, after all said and done, I think 230,000 people were killed. Mm-hmm. And then 9/11 happened when I was a junior in high school. And so you had all these kind of one after another, these huge events of just destruction, and I started thinking about the end times and what the Bible has to say. But I guess I go back to, that's probably what really sparks me to keep thinking about these news trends, because it's on people's minds, and it causes just a lot of questions.
Well, I know that it really determines the way that we go about being able to, if you can use the term, market some of this information and news. I know it sounds very, very fearful, and there are many people who are mongering in the negativity and just talking about all the horrible things that will happen. But we as a church want to project a message of hope and something that trumps all that, you know. But nonetheless, this certainly we want to present a message of hope to the world in the midst of this. Mm-hmm. Stock markets could all crash in one day. World war could erupt literally in split seconds. And I do feel like there are forces beyond us that are holding back this from happening because there are enough crazy people out there,
yes,
you know, to pull triggers. Mm-hmm. But the biggest indications of how it'll turn out are from prophetic references to the return of Jesus Christ to this world.
No, I'm glad you brought up the aspect of hope because really that's the whole point. And that even going back to my personal story, you know, learning about the hope and the wonderful news of the coming kingdom of God, that it's not here yet and it's not in people's hearts. And it's actually a literal kingdom coming. And that's going to bring the peace that we read about in Isaiah and other places. And after the climate of going back to the tsunami and 9/11, the things that I kind of grew up with after, you know, during high school and after high school, the hope of the kingdom was what really began to motivate me and it began to give me the kind of peace that I was looking for. And that's one thing that my wife and I were drawn to, United Church of God as well, because the hope of the message of the sermons and that there is hope that can be put in our personal lives now, today, mm-hmm. and there's also the hope for the future. Mm-hmm. So that was one big thing that drew me and my wife and I, to United as well.
Well, one thing, too, is that when I take a look at my life, I don't care so much about where I go. I know that, you know, there are so many years left, but I see my son, and I see my granddaughters and my grandsons. I want a world for them. And I don't want to just say, well, I hope it works out well for you. I want to have a sense of sureness that they're going to grow up, get married, have children, and have a decent life. And the most wonderful thing about what we've been called to is that it's so sure. It's so solid, you know, in our understanding, in my understanding, about the literalness of that great stone out of nowhere, made without hands, coming to replace all the kingdoms of this world, as it says in the second chapter of Daniel, to replace the kingdoms of this world, the great mountain of the Lord, and to replace them with a new world government. One thing that we're talking about here is that there are many who speak about how bad things are, everything from climate change to morals to the fact that we don't even know if we're male or female, you know, just all that chaos and so forth. But as we write to the public about this, we could be angry, we could be upset about these things, and we could let that vent, as I read in certain writings. Now, you're in the editorial business. I'd like to hear about what your tone is in how we describe these things in the printed word.
One thing I keep in mind when I'm writing or when I'm editing, first and foremost, we already talked about it, is just the relevancy aspect. Because let's face it, no one's going to read something if they're not interested. It's not relevant to them. It's not what they're thinking about. It's not a question on their mind. So, and I do a lot of reading from different newspapers, different sources, and not just online, but actual newspapers as well, New York Times and Wall Street Journal, and magazines as well, Atlantic. And I think that's probably the starting point. You know, first, you have to know what people are talking about.
And how to feed into that conversation.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And bring the kind of angle and hope and
influence
and God's perspective and a bigger picture perspective. So
in
many things
in a way
are,
that would be believable.
Yes, and so many things, sadly, with the trends, really can be boiled down to just little kind of nitpicky arguments sometimes. So we have to always try to rise above the fray and really paint a picture that's inspiring for people to bring them to God's Word, to bring them to the tools that we have, you know, to have them draw closer to understanding those things. Mm-hmm. And then number two, I keep in mind, you know, there's a really powerful book called The Art of Plain Talk, and it was written by Rudolf Flesch. And 1946 was when it was written, and even just that perspective from the 40s was really interesting to read a book about writing. And one of the biggest takeaways I came from it was, I drew from it was, people naturally read, the most effective writing is in a, just a conversational tone, mm-hmm. just very conversational. And it's so easy in writing to accidentally talk down to people or write down to them. You know, we all have been bitten by emails that we send that just mm-hmm. really come across wrong. And we wish we had taken it back because we think, well, we really did not mean to say it that way. So it's very hard to do on a consistent basis with just being conversational. So mm-hmm. that's one thing, number one, or number two, is just being conversational in our tone, too, and just reaching people with that proper tone of inspirational material, hopeful material, and then practical.
Well, I know that our writers, you know, we have meetings and we talk about tone, and some say that we have to have a stronger tone, and that, well, if you write something with all caps and a lot of exclamation marks, that's, people won't read beyond the first sentence. But if you could reach a person's mind and continue to talk through that and to get their confidence in the things mm-hmm. that you have to say, then you could get into those things that, you know, are both our issues and we want to resolve at the same time.
Yeah, I think that reminds me of something I've been thinking about a lot the last year is when you look at the Bible and how God interacts with his servants and also just God's message in general from the Bible, it's very much a message to people's hearts and their minds. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't leave out logic. He says in Isaiah, come, let us reason together. You know, he's not afraid of using logic in that sense. So he appeals to people's minds and their reason. And he also appeals to their hearts and emotions all through the Bible. So I think that's another thing I keep in mind is how can we just be balanced? How can mm-hmm. we bring that perspective where we're reaching people's emotions and their hearts and their desires? Everyone wants the same things, the peace and security and their family to be, you know, happy and taken care of. And then also not being afraid to appeal to the reason side too and logic and really appealing with a strong argument.
Not to put you on the spot, Justin, but I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
How would you, can you give us kind of a hot button issue that's out there right now and then tell us how you would cover it and how you wouldn't cover it?
Yeah, good question. Well, one example of kind of a hot button issue that's out there that, you know, talking about bringing a bigger picture view and God's perspective is the issue of gun control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is an issue that there's probably a lot of people who just don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole because there's so many, going back to emotions, there's so many emotions involved in it. And there's so much of a divide in the nation with people who, you know, really look at the Second Amendment and focus on that element of the right to bear arms. And then the other side who just doesn't understand why anyone needs to have these weapons. You know, I have a friend who went through a shooting, a school shooting, mm-hmm. well, a year or two ago, and they don't want to be shot at. I mean, they don't want people to be coming into their schools and shooting. So there's a lot of wrong ways probably for us to cover that issue and getting involved in the, you know, politics of it and getting involved in, you know, trying to legislate that's just going to turn off a lot of people, either one side or the other, 50% mm-hmm. of the nation either way. When you look at the Bible, you know, the hope that's of for tomorrow that God paints for us is these weapons are not going to be around forever. You know, the Bible, mm-hmm. the perspective that we really can paint for people is the verses that are specific about weapons being burned. The Bible talks about weapons being destroyed, and it talks about turning into plowshares. Exactly. So, you know, I take that literally. I mean, these mm-hmm. instruments are going to be used in some fashion then to be productive with farming and agriculture and in feeding people. So what a wonderful thing to show people that there is coming a day when the ultimate legislation will come down from the mountaintop, mm-hmm. from God's, you know, God's legislation and outlaw these weapons. And people
will there be no one harming one another?
Exactly.
They shall hurt nor destroy.
Yeah, so a lot of scriptures, you know, those are just a few scriptures that could be brought in to show the hope that is there. And ultimately, even people on the side who feel they do need to bear arms to protect their family or for whatever reason, you know, there's a legitimate desire there as well to protect their family and defend against a dangerous world. Mm-hmm. And that need won't be there anymore either. So mm-hmm. it really showing the perspective to both sides of the argument that it is going to be dealt with.
And in our society, we have so many issues, not only with gun control, but with other issues where the country is so divided. People mm-hmm. are so on one side or the other, and they are so angry with one another. I've never seen anything quite like it. Well, Justin, it's been wonderful talking to you today. I wanted everyone to meet Justin here. He's been a very wonderful member here of our staff, and we enjoy him very much.
Well, I thank you very much for having me on. It's been a joy to talk with you about all these things. We've covered a lot of ground, and I appreciate that you took the time to talk with me.
So thank you for coming to Inside United. You can find us on the UCG.org website. Go to the homepage and click on the podcast button. That's the easiest way to find us. Also, we'd like to hear from you at podcast@ucg.org. And tell your friends about Inside United. We have always interesting guests on this program. So thank you for coming here. Come back and join us again for another episode soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.